We want to look in the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter 22. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture. We were in this passage, if I'm not mistaken, back in April, towards the end of April, we were in this passage, and we talked about Christ looking at Peter after Peter denied him. And I want to refocus on this passage, but I want to kind of take us in a different direction. I want to kind of take us in Peter's life just a few moments tonight. And so as you're turning there, I do want to again thank you for being here. I know Wednesday is if you're like I am, there's a lot of things on our mind. There's a lot of things that's happening all around us. It seems like it's a revolving door a lot of times in our minds. But I hope that we can take this Wednesday night and every Wednesday night that we meet together and just simply set those things aside for just a little while and spend time in God's Word. That's refreshing to us, and it can be a help to us. And I know sometimes our minds are full, our minds are heavy with so many things that's taking place. But I'm glad that you chose to be here tonight, and I appreciate those that are watching. And so we're always grateful for that. But let's just read one verse of Scripture tonight in our reading, and then we're going to kind of talk a little bit about this passage treat it as such. The Bible says in verse 54 of Luke chapter 22, the Bible says, "Then took they him," this is Jesus, "and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." And so that's our message tonight, following afar off. And so let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you again that we can call upon you in prayer, that we can lift our voices up to you. Lord, I do pray that you'll guard our minds, guard our hearts. And Lord, may we look to you tonight as we spend some time with you. We do pray for all the requests of prayer that's already been mentioned, and the needs, and even the unspoken. But Lord, we just ask that you help us tonight, and may we focus on you. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a pretty dark day in Peter's life during this time period. It was not only dark for him, but it was dark for the followers of Jesus. And so this was just before the death of Jesus on the cross. And so tensions were pretty high. There was a lot of activity. There was a lot of things that were happening. There was a lot of anger. There was sadness. There was anxiety. There were things that they just didn't know what was going to happen. And you kind of know how you feel when something's getting ready to happen, but you don't know what. And so you have a lot of anxiety, a lot of just different thoughts. I'm sure that there was some, there wasn't much rest that was given right after they had taken Jesus. And so Judas had sold Jesus out. Judas, you know, his demeanor and his life, and ultimately, I think I can put it like this, and that's the simple fact that Judas sold him out. But tonight I would like to not focus on Judas, but tonight I would like to focus on Peter and the fact that he followed afar off. And I want to say that following afar off is very dangerous ground. It's very dangerous ground. It would be a very dark time period in Peter's life as he followed afar off. Why? Because he knew what it was like to follow Jesus. You know, I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that someone who has followed Jesus and someone who has had Jesus in their life, when they go astray, when they backslide, when they walk away, I believe that they are hindered in such a way, and their spirit is hindered in such a way that in some ways, now I'm not talking about heaven or hell, but I'm talking about their condition here on earth. I sometimes believe that they're, in a sense, worse than those that are lost. And the reason I say that is because they don't know, those that are lost don't know what it's like to be saved. They don't know what it's like to follow Jesus. They don't know what it's like to feel that weight being removed once salvation. But I can say this, I can say in my own experience that the time in my life, just after I became a teenager, I got saved when I was 15. And so there was a time in my life somewhere around the age of 17 and maybe 18 and 19, something like that in those years, that I wasn't as close to the Lord as I was. And so I can say from my own experience that it just seemed like the Holy Spirit was constantly nudging me, constantly telling me, you need to get your heart right. You need to get back in fellowship. I was already saved, but those were some pretty miserable days. And I did everything that I could think of to try to bring myself joy. I would do this and I would do that. I would go here, I would go there. But you know, deep down, I knew that I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I believe that although we understand that Peter was following Jesus, and we understand that he was one of his followers and that he was taught a lot, I believe that as Peter was being questioned about knowing Jesus, I believe that every time that he said he knew him not, that there was this piercing. It was almost like I believe that there was a conviction on him to the point that once the cock crowed, the Bible says that he went out and wept bitterly. So I think that he was feeling that pain of following afar off. You see, he had a personal testimony. He actually said in John 6, he tells Christ, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. So he knew who Jesus was. He gave that testimony in John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. And see, the Lord had given him some warning. And the Lord had warned him of his upcoming failure. Now, I'm wondering if somebody could tell us, if somebody could predict or prophesy or whatever you want to put there, that if you got up in the morning, somebody looked at you and said, you're going to fail today, how we would feel. We would probably be much like Peter and say, who, me? What am I going to fail at? You know, I just get up and I go through my day and I do this, that, and the other. And so I have no reason to fail. I didn't fail yesterday. So what makes me think I'm going to fail today? Well, when the Lord told him and gave him warning and he told him, he said, you're going to fall into failure. You're going to deny me. And Peter refused. He said, no. He wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't accept that was what was going to take place. And this is our, and I'm going to kind of give you different things as we continue this message, but I think that's Peter's first mistake. I believe that his first mistake was saying, it'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me. I'll never fall into this, this temptation, or I'll never fall into situation. I'll never do this. And I think that's Peter's. He didn't realize how weak he was. He didn't realize that he wasn't as strong as what he thought he was. And for him to be confronted and for him to say, when Jesus said, you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, no, I'm not going to do it. Now, he didn't set out to fail, but yet he still failed. Jesus had told Peter that there would be soon a time in his life that he would deny him. And we see that in verses 31 The Bible says in verse 31 of this same chapter, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And then his response was, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That's how sure of himself that he was. He was sure of himself to the point to where he told Jesus that no matter what, I'm going to follow you. If you go to prison, I'm going to go. If you are going to die, I'm going to die with you. That's how much confidence he had in himself. And in verse 34 says, then I tell you thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny that thou knowest me. So he told him, Peter, you're going to fail me. And so I think the first stage of following afar off is saying it'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me. Could it be that Peter would really deny Jesus? Now I can just imagine that he must have thought to himself, well, I walked with you, Jesus. I followed you, Jesus. I talked to you, Jesus. I'm learning from you. Peter had received him as to who he was. So Peter was doing all the right things, but yet Jesus says, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. Christ had told his disciples to pray that ye enter not into temptation. And we find that in verse 40 of that same chapter. When he was at the point, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. But as Jesus went away, the Bible says in verse 41, and he withdrew from them, meaning Jesus, about a stone's cast away, and kneeled down and prayed. And then he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. And this is Jesus praying. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And it goes on to say, we'll drop on down to verse 46, because we're not focusing on Christ's prayer, but what we're focusing on is Peter tonight. But in verse 46, he said unto them, verse 45, and it says, and when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleepest ye? Rise up, rise and pray, lest ye enter not in temptation. So here's the second thing that I want to make mention. The first is it'll never happen to me. The second is they were found sleeping. They were found sleeping. It is easy to let our guard down. It is easy to let our guard down and we become sleeping. It's easy for us to think about our own cares, our own life, our own things that's happening in our life. And I'll be honest with you, there are so many time robbers out there that robs our time to where we're not fellowshipping. Christ had told them to pray that you enter not in temptation, but they weren't praying, they were sleeping. And so I think that's the second problem. Is the reason that Peter was following afar off. First, he says it'll never happen to me. And then second, he was found sleeping instead of falling into temptation. Or praying about falling into temptation. Because that's exactly what Peter did. Peter fell into temptation. And so with that thought process here, there's two things that I believe that every single person is subject to doing. And that is saying it'll never happen to me. You know, we may have been saved for many, many years. And we say, well, what have I got to be tempted for? There's a lot of temptations out there. and then find ourselves sleeping. Sometimes I'm guilty that when a lot of things that are happening and a lot of things that are happening really fast and it's like your mind goes here and your mind goes there and you have to do this and do that. Sometimes I'm guilty that all I want to do is go away and sleep. A lot of people lose sleep when they've got things on their mind. I'm just the opposite. I want to go to sleep because I don't want to think about it anymore. And so I'm just wondering is if their minds and their hearts were so heavy with all the things that was taking place that all they could do is sleep instead of pray. Very easily done. And Jesus says, "Why sleep ye? Rise up and pray, lest ye enter not into temptation." And I read to that verse a few minutes ago. As people may say, it'll never happen to me, but yet Peter gives us an example of someone that was following Jesus, someone that was walking with Jesus, someone that learned from Jesus and saw miracles from Jesus firsthand. He still fell into temptation. What an example of the fact that it could happen to every one of us. And he continued to follow afar off. And I think that's the beginning stages of that following. You know, following afar off, I don't believe it's something that just happens, but I believe it's something that just slowly happens. I think it's something that just slowly we decide not to do this or we decide to do this. And I think it's something that just kind of slowly takes place in a person's life. And before you know it, you look around and you say, "Where am I? Where am I?" You look back at people maybe in your life or people that you know in your life, maybe acquaintances, maybe even family. And you look back and you one time saw them as people used to say, on fire for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of slowly things changed. And maybe it was circumstances in their life. Maybe it was temptations. We could put a lot of things as the cause, but it's not the cause as much as it's the thing that happened. And so that's the beginning stages, I believe, in Peter's life was the fact that he said it wouldn't happen to him. And then second, he was found asleep. And I'll say this, no one wants to get up in the morning and set out to fail. No one says, "I want to fail today." There's got to be a certain amount of desire in our hearts that wants to succeed. Now, a lot depends on what kind of effort that we want to succeed in. A lot depends on what kind of effort that we want to make it. But I don't believe that anybody just says, and maybe they might say it, but I don't think they truly mean it. They say that, "I want to fail today." Peter had such a desire to serve the Lord that he told him, and I believe he meant what he said when he said, "I'll go to prison with you or I'll die with you." I believe he meant that. I believe he meant it with his heart. But yet, he denied the Lord on that day. And I believe that he was denying the Lord because that he followed afar off. I believe that's, I believe that's what happened. So what we need to understand is we need to look for the warning signs. There are warning signs if we open our eyes to see what they are. There are some warning signs. And so in verses 31 and following, and I'm going to read to you these verses, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." So that's a warning sign. The warning sign is understanding that Satan is real and that he's got his demons and that he wants failure in Christians. He wants failure in Christians. And so the words of Jesus are very clear tonight. The words of Jesus can't be any more clear, and that is the fact that Satan hath desire to have you. And we need to beware and we need to understand that warning sign. We must take that seriously. We must take it seriously. Peter had good intentions, But yet he fell asleep. He fell asleep. And so it goes on to say, but I have prayed for thee that thou fall not, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so this is the warning that Jesus gives. This is the warning sign. Let me ask you a question. And you don't have to answer this, just think about it. And I'll ask myself the same question. Have you ever failed to pray about something? Have you ever failed to seek wisdom in making a decision? Have you ever failed to spend time with the Lord in His Word? I think if probably, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I can say that I've been guilty in my life of doing those three things. So if we fail in doing those things, how much easier is it is that we fall into temptation? Because those are the three tools that we have. Praying. See, they had the opportunity to pray, but they fell asleep. And so, seeking wisdom. One of the things that my dad used to do when I was growing up, if I was getting ready to make a purchase, there was a time that I had a car, the first car I had, and I had started hunting a lot, and I had some coon dogs, and I didn't have a pickup truck, so I put them in my trunk, and I took off down through the woods in my car. That's all I had, and so I wanted a pickup truck. And I saw one on the side of the road for sale, and I stopped and looked at it, and I knew the man that was selling it, and so I wanted it. So I went back to my dad, and I said, and I thought, this is the perfect truck for me. And so I told my dad, I said, hey, let's go look at this. Let's go look. And then his comment was, have you prayed about it? Well, when my dad asked me, have I prayed about something, that pretty much meant I wasn't going to get it. That's just how it worked out. But later, what I received was far better than what I was looking at. But you know, that's how the Lord works. We may pray for something, or we may pray about something, and we may think we want something. But if we pray and the Lord don't open that door, then there's something far better coming. Peter didn't see the warning signs. He didn't heed to the warning. He didn't heed to the warning signs, and he denied him. He followed afar off. He followed afar off. There's so many things that happens in a person's life that can cause people to go astray. You know, verse 54 tells us when it says that he followed afar off, I want to say that Peter became distant. So that's another part of this, that he became distant. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? All through the scriptures, you would see Peter by his side, meaning Christ. You would see Peter by his side. He would be with him. He would be learning from him. I believe he was even the one that says, hey, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body. You see, that's being close to him. But in this case, when he failed, he was a distance from Christ. No longer was Peter by his side. He now put himself to where he was looking from a distance. So when Peter was looking as to what was taking place, he was looking from a distance. And I don't think you can have the proper relationship with the Lord from a distance. You need to be close to Him. We need His help. You see, you got to remember, Jesus knew everything that was taking place. Jesus knew what was happening. Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified. Jesus knew every person that cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And I believe that that if Peter would have been right there with him, I believe that the Lord would have took care of him. But yet he chose to be a distance away. And that's by choice. He chose to do that. And many times when we fall victim of not being close to the Lord, we choose to do that. Nobody wants to do that, but yet we choose to do that. He had now put himself to where he was, looking from a distance, and now failure was getting ready to happen. Failure was getting ready to happen. This was not the time to be away from Jesus. This was not the time to walk at a distance. And you look at the condition of our world, you look at the condition of all the things that's happening around us, and we need to be close to Jesus. We need to be close to Him. We don't need to let all these distractions and all these cares and all these things and all these things to interrupt our relationship with Him. And God already knows now, and we need to do our part, and we need to do our part, and we need to vote right. But God already knows now who's going to be in office. And so with knowing that, then our relationship with Him is very important. And we should not allow these things, these distractions, to cause us to be distant with the Lord. Jesus was put on trial, and He was wrongfully accused. He was wrongfully convicted. He was wrongfully beaten. He was wrongfully mocked, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." He was wrongfully carrying the cross. He was wrongfully the nails going through His hands. He was wrongfully mocked, saying, "You know, if you're who you say you are, save yourself and us." And He was wrongfully, but He got the final say. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and the third day He rose again. You see, that's who Jesus is. And so Jesus knows everything that's taking place around us, and our objective tonight should be close to Him, not being a distant from Him. But yet, we should never say, "It'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me." The words of Jesus in verse 31 says, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." I'll tell you something. Christians need to join together and pray as much as they need to do anything else, because God hears and answers our prayers. I've heard people say before, "I'm not as close to the Lord as I once was." And maybe at some time in my life, maybe I've said it too. So I'll answer myself, and I'll answer it with a question. Why? Why are we not as close? God hasn't changed. So if God hasn't changed, then it's on us. Why are we not as close as we should be? I've heard other people say, "I know what I need to do, but I just can't do it." I've heard others say, "I'll be okay." But now, with all these things that took place in Peter's life, now is the moment of decision. The moment of decision. In verse 55 says, "And when thou had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and was set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man was also with him.'" And verse 57 says, "And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.'" Everything that we just mentioned led up to this decision. Everything, the sleeping, the being distant, the saying it'll never happen to me, and all those things led up to where Peter was in his life right now. And it didn't stop there. It didn't stop. In verse 56, and a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man also was with him, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And verse 58 says, and after a little while another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Number two. And about the space of an hour after another comfortably affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Three times. But it began with the first decision to say no. Once you say no, I believe it's a little easier the second time. And I believe it's a little easier the third time. When a person gets in sin, I believe that a true born again believer, I believe it's harder the first time, but as they continue to do it, it becomes just a little easier. But I believe that things changed for Peter when he heard the cock crow. When he heard that crow, and he saw that look. Verse 60 says, when he said, man, I know not him, and immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And then Jesus looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered all those things. Peter remembered. I not only think that Peter remembered the fact that Jesus said, you're going to deny me, but I also think that he remembered, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. Satan hath desired to have you. I believe he also remembered the time that he says, pray and enter not into temptation, but he was asleep. See, I believe that he remembered all those things, but it all centered around Jesus saying, you're going to deny me. And I believe that we're the bitter, the weeping came, the bitter weeping came because I believe he remembered when he said, Lord, I'll never do this. I'll never do it. What a lesson that we can learn. What a lesson that we can learn tonight. It'll never happen to me. Falling asleep. Walking from a distance, finding ourselves standing among this world as Peter was. What a sobering moment. Maybe Peter thought he could handle it himself, but he couldn't. We know that he didn't set out to fail. Jesus looked at him. But I want to conclude tonight with this. There is a danger in walking afar off. There is a danger in walking afar off. Our relationship with the Lord should be in the forefronts of our lives. It should be the most important thing to us is our relationship with Him. Peter didn't set out to fail, but yet he put himself in the right circumstances to fail. In other words, he didn't do anything to cause him not to fail. He just thought he could handle it himself. It wasn't over for Peter, and I'm grateful for that. It wasn't over for Peter, and the Bible says that he wept bitterly, and we know that. But Peter was later called, and I believe that Peter repented, and that Peter was later called and gave a commission to feed the sheep. To feed Jesus' lambs, and that's in John 21:15. So it wasn't over for Peter. And we don't have time to get into it tonight. But we see in this passage of Scripture here in Luke, two individuals. Judas also followed Jesus, and he sold him out. And he later went out and hung himself and never spent the money. Peter denied him, but that fellowship was restored. I believe that we're all subject to following afar off. We just have to be aware, and we have to follow Him as closely as we can follow Him and look for the dangers. And don't be caught sleeping. Don't be caught saying it'll never happen to me, because I'm convinced of this tonight. It could happen to every single one of us. So let's pray. Father, thank You for allowing us to see the picture of someone's life. And yes, we see the failures. But Lord, we also see Your grace. And we see Your mercy. And we see Your love. We see Your patience, Your kindness. And how, Lord, that when we repent, Lord, You still used Peter in a mighty way. And what a tremendous ambassador that he was for You. Help us, Lord, to not take for granted what You do for us every day. Help us to have that desire to be close to You. And help us, Lord, to never say, it'll never happen to me. We know, based upon what the Scripture says, Lord, that Satan hath desire to have us, to sift us as wheat. So, Lord, help us to be on guard. Help us to pray. And help us to keep You close. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.